So we're going through the book of Mark and have been for many years. Not many years, but quite a long time here and there going through the book of Mark. And if you remember in this section of Mark that we're kind of on the fast track to the cross after Mark chapter 9. So Jesus is headed to Jerusalem and he's going there to suffer, to be rejected, be killed on a cross and rise again on the third day. And he's telling his disciples over and over, look, this is what's going to happen to me. And kind of intersected in between these passages of him talking about his death and resurrection, he's giving some teachings. As we've seen in Mark chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, he's teaching us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. We've done everything, and we just got that noise buzzing all day long. So, in Mark chapter 8, hey, so let's just stop. Listen, if we start just doing a bunch of stuff, then we'll probably do it. Then we saw the essence of what it means to be a Christian, humility. If anybody wants to be first, he must be the last and the servant of all. We talked about kingdom unity. Whoever, Jesus said, hey, don't tell that guy over there to stop doing ministry. Whoever's not against us is for us. And then we looked at radical disciples. What Jesus says and what we can learn from children about the kingdom of God. So let's read our passage again in Mark 10, 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you,
Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Notice, first of all, what we learn about children of Jesus. Children in our day and age are highly revered, even to the point that small children are multi-millionaires, no business. They're like the top of the food chain, not necessarily at the bottom.
I looked it up online. There's one little girl named Mia Tallarico, who at the age of 9 is already a multimillionaire because of show business. There's one piece of meat left on the table. These days it may go to the child. And even in our society, maybe the kids run the house. But that's not the way it was in the first century. In the first century, children were not looked upon so highly. Maybe it was because kids may have died easily at an early age. And so really it wasn't until kids got out of that danger zone where they were healthy enough that it looked like they were going to be okay that they weren't considered really highly until then. So kids had no rights. They weren't looked upon. They were looked down on. And we see this reflected a little bit in the disciples' attitude in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. It says, they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. Now, who was bringing children? We don't really know. Their parents, other people, maybe their older siblings. Luke says infants. So these weren't teenagers. They were, the Greek word means small child most of the time. They were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. They made the people stop doing it. They hindered people from bringing children to Jesus. We don't know why the disciples did this. Maybe they didn't want the kids to bother Jesus. Maybe because it was a long day and Jesus was tired and hungry. Maybe they thought so. But they pushed them away and hinder them. They are displaying in some ways the world's view of children at that time. Children were an inconvenience to many people. So they rebuked them. What was Jesus' response? Indignant, the Bible says. Only time that this is used in the Bible, this word indignant, to refer to Jesus. Isn't that interesting? This is the only time in the Scriptures where this word is used to refer to Jesus being furious. He was upset. He wasn't happy with it. This word means a state of anger aroused by injustice. So Jesus displays in his a response to them that God's view of children is much different than the disciples. Much like Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver. Many people today struggle with that kind of mentality when it comes to children. Do we really think that children, that it's blessed? The more you have, the more blessed you are? Or do we say, no, just let's keep that number low. Too much mop on. But the Bible says something different. Jesus values children. Jesus loves children. Notice the words in this passage of affection that are used. It says, let the children come to me. Let them come to me. Don't hinder them. And then it says that Jesus took them in his arms. It's not a high five. I mean, Jesus was hugging children. Maybe not something you can get away with today. and he blessed them. He blessed them. This doesn't mean that he just said, God bless you. He said something. We don't know what he said. But in this culture, in Hebrew culture, he would have placed his hands on them and said a rabbinic blessing over them. May God be gracious to you and bless you. Make his face to shine upon you. Like a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, here we see Jesus Christ gathering these children under his wing, which he said, by the way, he wanted to do to the whole city of Jerusalem. He's gathering them close to him and speaking a spiritual blessing over them, praying. Jesus loves children. He displays a value for children that the world didn't have at that time. So what can we learn from Jesus about children? Number one, they're not an inconvenience. Children are not an inconvenience. Number two, they are valued in God's sight. Number three, we should welcome children with an affectionate heart. We should affectionately welcome children into our lives, not think just kind of bother. And then lastly, he says we must be careful not to hinder them. Did you notice he said, let them come, and then he said, don't hinder them. So one's a positive, one's a negative. That has a lot of meaning when you say something twice. Do we have the mind of Christ about our children? About our own children? When it comes to our own children, are our own children, are they a convenient inconvenience to us? Let's be honest. Even in our own lives, in the midst of busy life, in the midst of wanting to do the things that we want to do, sometimes we will think our own kids are somewhat of an inconvenience. Do we push them aside? Leave me alone. I'm trying to check something right now. I think we need to ponder this question, especially in a place, a busy society and a busy city, making sure that our children are not an inconvenience to us, that we have Jesus' mind when it comes to children, that they're a blessing. Every day, maybe we should write on the mirror or something and say, our children are a blessing from the Lord. What about other people's children? You say, well, I love my kids, but I don't really like other people's kids very much. Well, are we an encouragement, or are we a hindrance to other people's children coming to Jesus? Something to think about when it comes to church ministry, for sure. In some ways, if we aren't working hard, and if we're not working strategic in engaging children for the kingdom, then maybe we're hindered. You know, meaning if we're not actually trying to welcome them, then maybe we're hindered. How much effort as a church will we invest in kids? How much effort will we invest in kids at our own church? How much money would we be willing to spend to reach kids in Saikung or TKO, Clearwater Bay, HKUSD? Our spending reflects our vision, and our vision reflects our heart. Did you know, not today so much, but did you know on most given Sundays in our own church that we have about five people, we have about five ladies rotating in children's ministry. One does children's church, one does Sunday school, one does Sunday school, one does children's church. And then they're just rotating each week. And they're exhausted. So maybe this word fits into our own where we are and say, hey, we need more people to love children here at church. Jesus loves children. We should too. So that's what we can learn about children from Jesus. They're highly valued in the kingdom. But what can we learn from children about the kingdom of God? This is Jesus' main point. His main point is, what can we learn about from children about the kingdom? Notice in verse 14 and 15 what he says. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Why? For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child won't enter. So what's Jesus talking about? He gives us two phrases using children as an example. Okay, he doesn't mean everybody, only children go to heaven or something like that. He's saying it's, you must be like a child. Number one, he says the kingdom of God belongs to folks who are like children. The kingdom of God belongs to people who are like children. And in fact, he says you must receive the kingdom of God like a child. You must. You must receive the kingdom of God like a child. So Jesus is saying, hey, look, here's a child. Look at a child. You need to be like this in order to be saved. In order to go to the kingdom, you must be like. So what does he mean? What does he mean? Well, unfortunately, he doesn't give us any commentary, does he? It would be really nice for me if Jesus just said, and here's what I mean by that. But unfortunately, he doesn't do that. So I have to try to figure out what he means, and hopefully I'm right this morning. Is it innocence? Is Jesus saying, you need to be like a child, you need to be innocent? Well, as one theologian said that I read this week, he said, it's not innocent because children aren't innocent. They're little sinners and we're big sinners. So it's not that we need to be innocent, because anybody who has children know that they're sinners. They're not innocent before God. Then what is it? Well, I'm going to make my attempt. My attempt is three words. And those three words are needy, dependent, and happy. If you have other suggestions, we can talk later. But here we go. Children are needy. What do we mean by that? It doesn't mean they're financially don't have any money, even though they don't. They get it all from their father, don't they? They are needy. They have nothing to bring to Jesus. Small children, like my daughter Millie's age, she has nothing to bring to God. She has no merits. She has no works to claim. To say, look what I've done, God. What has she done? She sinned, that's it. No merits, no good works to bring. Children just come and receive. Come and receive salvation from God, very simply. Adults, we have a hard time. We don't want anything to be given to us. Adults actually learn to not receive. Particularly in some cultures, if you try to give something to someone, they're like, no, I don't want it, no, don't give it to me, no. They're like, no, here, take $1,000. No, I really can't, I really shouldn't. What will a child do? Give it to me. Take it right now. A child just takes the giving. So children come to get. They don't come to give. They have nothing to bring God. They just come and say, I'll just receive what you have. It's very much like what Jesus said in Matthew 5:3. Matthew 5:3, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. Number one, did you come to Jesus because you were needy? Did you come to Jesus because you were helpless? that's the way you should have come. You should have come with empty hands and said, I'm a totally needy person, and there's absolutely nothing I can do for you, but I will receive like a child. Number two, children are dependent. They're needy, and they are dependent. Children live by faith, don't they? Sometimes they complain, but children get up every morning and they just assume and expect that everything is going to be taken care of for them, right? There's going to be food down there for them in the kitchen. Someone's going to take them where they need to go. If they need clothes, then someone's going to take care of them. This childlike dependence. We have a trampoline. Actually, we have two trampolines in our village. One family bought one, another family bought another. So we've had these two trampolines in our village. And Millie, you know, she's about this big. And she loves to play a game with me on the trampoline. Well, we say one, two, three. And she'll jump three times, and then she'll literally just jump on the edge of the trampoline and just dive off. If I don't catch her, she's going to smack her face on the ground. But she does that, and guess what? Daddy catches her every time. Raw faith and raw dependence on their heavenly, on their earthly father. We should be dependent on our heavenly father. Kids get up and they have no worries. You may ask a small child, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And many of them, especially have grown up in church, childlike faith, dependent, needy, and dependent. Do you and I have a childlike trust and dependence on God? Do we have that kind of childlike trust and dependence on God, or are we still trying to figure it all out? Jesus tells us to be like children, needy and dependent. And lastly, children are happy. Most of them. But children have a happiness to them. It might be more comfortable this morning if I use the word joyful. We like that word more than we like the word happy. Joyful is a little more sanitized. We ask you, do you have joy? Yes, I have joy. We say, well, are you happy? I don't know if I really say that. We don't like to talk about happiness. It makes us uncomfortable. We somehow feel like it would be wrong to be really, really happy. Or to at least say that we are. But children know how to be happy. Easy to when they have a heavenly father or an earthly father who they're dependent on to trust and take care of all of their worries. Easy to be happy when you rest in your Father's care. Easy to be happy when every need that you have is taken care of in your life. So, if you had enough money right now to do whatever you wanted to do, you would say what? I'm happy because I don't have any worries. But that's exactly how God wants us to live our lives. Happy for a different reason. So, when we come to Jesus Christ, we are to come like a child. Needy, with nothing to offer Him but our sin. Dependent on Him alone for saving grace, and dependent on Him alone for sustaining grace. And we come to Him to receive happiness. Be satisfied. So here's a good question this morning. Are you happy? Did you come to Jesus Christ to get happy? Did you come to Jesus to get happy? If not, why did you come? If you're not happy, why aren't you? We may say, I would be happy if I had less. I would just be happy if I had less. But Jesus Christ wants us to be needy, because we are. He wants us to come to Him dependent and trusting on Him. And we come to Him for fullness of joy. We come to Him to be eternally happy in Christ. Like a child. Well, the way we come to Jesus is the way we're supposed to remain in Jesus. The way we originally came to Jesus for salvation is the goal of where we're supposed to be each and every day. Maybe I can say it this way. The way to remain close to Jesus is to keep coming like a child. The way to remain close to Jesus is to keep coming like a child. Keep being needy. I remember when I lived in the country across the border, sometimes people would quote to me, "Religion is a crutch for the weak." You know what the answer is? It is, absolutely. You know why I came to Christ? Because I was desperate. Desperate for happiness. Desperate for salvation. I need a crutch. I need a crutch. I don't know about you. Come, keep being needy, keep being dependent, and keep trying to be happy in Christ. Let's say it this way. Keep your hands open. Keep your hands open, being needy. Keep your hands open, holding all things in this world loosely. Holding everything loosely, just saying, nothing is mine. I'm needy. I have nothing. It all belongs to my Father. Keep your heart trusting. Keep running to your Heavenly Father for everything. Everything. Whether it's my kids got a cold, whether I don't know how we're going to pay the bills, or if I need something from God, I need a new job, or I need a new place to rent. Thank God for everything like a child. That's what children do. Mommy! Daddy! That's what God wants. And keep running with joy. Keep running with joy. Drink freely. Drink freely. Jeremiah says, from the fountain of living waters, that your soul might be satisfied, your thirst might be quenched today and every day. That, like a child, running with joy, just playing and enjoying. May God give us the grace to not only receive salvation like a child, coming to Him needy and saying, I have nothing to offer you except my sin, so please save me. May God also, by His grace, enable us to keep coming to Him every day and just cry out, Daddy, every time we need help. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your unfailing love. Thank You that even when You taught us to pray, You taught us to start out by saying, Our Father. Thank You as our Father that You know what we need before we even ask You. Thank You as our Father that You won't give us a stone if we ask for bread. You won't give us a scorpion when we ask for fish. Just as I know how to give gifts to my children, how much more, O Lord, do You know how to provide? Give us the grace, Lord, to be children again spiritually. That we would go back to dependence, go back to neediness, and go back to joy. Joy. Just letting Jesus take us up in His arms. God, you know this is a tough passage. You know it's simple and yet difficult. So I pray that you would smooth over anything that I said that wasn't helpful. Cause any words that I said that might be useless to be forgotten. I pray that your word would stick. We pray in Christ's name.